The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
It's time to get in shape and shape up your health. Welcome to Fitness RX Radio with your hosts, Joe Piatero and Greg Valentino. If you're looking for information about health, training, fitness, and nutrition, then stay with us for the next hour. Now, here are Greg Valentino and Joe Piatero.
And welcome to Extreme Radio. Joe Piatero here, my buddy Greg Valentino. That was one bag of shit Super Bowl, so we're not going to even waste a fucking breath on that shit, right, Greg?
Oh, my God, Joe. I mean, unbelievable. I wish this, the only wish I have is that this snow that we're getting bombed with right now,
that would have been great, right?
That would have made my night to see it snowing. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
That would have been home run, yeah. Because then you know that the... You know, all of these fucking homos would have been crying. Oh, my God, can you believe the snow? And, oh, how are we going to have this fucking game and all of that? And it's going to affect this and all of that. They're bitching and moaning about the fucking travel going home and all of that. Listen, fuckface, you were at the fucking Super Bowl. Win or lose. I don't give a shit if you were wearing an orange or a fucking green jersey yesterday. Win or lose, you were sitting at the fucking Super Bowl. Now you're going to cry because there's a little fucking, you know, oh, everything's backed up. Fucking deal with it. You know,
well, they got lucky. They got lucky, to be honest with you. The weather was really, you know, like, I mean, the weather was a home run for the Super Bowl. I mean, it was not that cold. I mean, it was in the high 40s almost or whatever it was. I mean, these guys walked around with short sleeves. Nobody was huffing and puffing. You see steam coming out of anybody's mouth, you know what I mean?
No, nothing like that. Even the fucking red hot fucking shitty peppers there were dancing around with no shirt on, man.
I don't like the red hot chili peppers at all, and I also don't like... I don't like Bruno Mars at all. It sounds like he's whining and crying. I can't stand it.
Let me tell you something. I am far from a Bruno Mars fan. I don't think I can fucking name two songs the guy sings. But I thought he did a pretty cool job. I like the retro type of feel they had to it with the suits. And I thought he was kind of like that Elvis-y look he had. And I thought it was pretty cool. And, you know, I thought he pulled it off pretty good for a guy that I am far from a fan of.
I was saying the same thing. He looked like a Latin Elvis or something. I don't know what he is, but
he's like Hawaiian or some shit like that. Yeah, he's kind of hard to pin down what he is.
He's a good dance show, but I'm not into the, you know, his music. You know, I mean, at least he didn't pop a tit out or something like that. You know,
yeah,
or show some bush or whatever. You know, I mean, at least he didn't do any of that stuff.
You know what would have been funny if the fucking, whatever, the Chili Peppers guy was fucking, he had like his left ball hanging out of his fucking zipper would have been great.
What was with that?
I have no idea, bro. It was kind of fucking weird, the whole thing. I mean, I never liked that song, even though I kind of like maybe a couple of their tunes, but that was never one. But those guys have not been, I hate to use this word, but I have to, it fits here, relevant, Gregory. Relevant since what? Fucking 90-something?
Yeah, to use that word, huh? No, but you know what?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Fit. What do you want from me?
You know, I'll tell you this. They're definitely not. I mean, you're right. I haven't heard anything from them since the 90s, to be honest with you. But, you know, I don't know. It beats seeing, like, Beyonce and Jay-Z. I can't stand. If I see one more thing in them and seeing Kanye West or whatever his name is, you know, I can't take any of that anymore, to be honest with you. So I'll take 100 Bruno Marses and 100 friggin' Red Hot Chili Peppers over one more scene of Kanye West acting like he's Black Jesus or those other two idiots, Beyonce and us. I can't take that, man. That is really, 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 I'm going to tilt with those people. Beyonce.
Yeah, the fucking, whatchamacallit, most of the time the Super Bowl thing is kind of a bag of shit. Now, I've been to, you know, some Super Bowls, and I've saw some pretty cool acts. I actually enjoyed Prince.
Wait, hold on. You know what I wanted to ask you, Joe? Wait, I don't mean to change the subject, but I'm
changing.
What the hell? How did Carroll win the Super Bowl? Couldn't do shit with the Jets. That's what I meant to ask you.
Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
You know what? He was a Jet coach, and I don't want to go into some fucking sports tangent, but I'll make it fucking short and sweet. I'll do the Cliff Notes version. He was a rookie head coach in 94. That was his first. He was a defensive coordinator. He was very highly regarded as a defensive coordinator. He took over as a head coach for 1 year. They were 6-5. The Dan Marino spike game really just destroyed that whole season, and they ended up going 6-10, and he got fired. He didn't really get a fair shake with the Jets. He kind of got a raw deal. You know, he had them playing really well. They had a loss for the ages that is still talked about fucking 20 years later. And then the team hit the shitter and went in the tank. And the owner got a little crazy and fired him after 1 year and hired a bag of shit and Rich Kotite after that. So he really didn't have an opportunity with the Jets. He's done well in other spots after that. Obviously, the guy is only the third coach to win a college championship and a Super Bowl. So, listen, when he coached the Jets, they were a marginal fucking team at best. So, I don't know. I mean, to me, it was like, I was happy to see him. As a Jet fan, I liked him as a coordinator. I thought as a head coach, he had them playing well, and then the spike game killed him. But I was happy for him. But I want to bring on right now our first guest, Mr. Don Jamieson, because I'm sure he has a take on Pete Carroll. Don, what's going on tonight?
That was funny. When I first called in, they put me on hold. The first thing I heard was bag of shit Rich Kotite. So I said, good, I'm not the only disgruntled Jet fan
right?
on the panel. What's that?
You can relate to the bag of shit Rich Kotite saying, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in Jersey. I've been a Jet fan since I'm 5, and, you know, I'm the idiot that would, you know, sit out there, you know, in the middle of the winter at the stadium with, like, 3,000 people when they were 1-15, you know, playing the Oilers the last game of the season, thinking, like, what am I doing? Well, you know, why can't I pick a team that ever wins? But, you know, here I am 42 years later, and I'm still pulling for my team. But, we've had a lot of dark days, man.
Don, I want to help you. I was that fucking same jerk-off kid, but I grew up in Brooklyn, so I was sitting in Shea watching the fucking team. So, freezing my fucking ball bag off over there.
Yeah, my dad used to take that trip out there, too, to Shea in the early days. And, and then we used to go see the Nets play at the Rack at Rutgers, where I actually ended up going to school, you know, later on. When I got older, so, you know, we'd go see the Jets, and I don't think I saw one winning game of any sport, like, my whole life growing up, so I just was used to losing all the time. I just figured that's how it is when you're a sports fan.
So you must be a Met fan, too, huh?
I am a Met fan, that's correct.
Holy God, I'm surrounded. You and Joe both.
Oh, God.
Joe Namath had some nice fur coat on him. I don't know if that was his wife's or what was that?
He would have looked nice with some dangling earrings if he could have pulled that together.
Yeah, but see, Broadway Joe was just—I think he was mimicking himself from back in when he was hurt with his knee injury back on the sidelines in the late '60s with the Jets with the fur coat. So I think he was kind of almost like a little knock on his own persona, if you will, his old Broadway Joe. I thought it was pretty cool, though. I thought, you know, I thought he pulled it off pretty good, and I thought it was pretty funny, actually.
I did too. I enjoyed it. Well, that's Joe, you know. So, you know, whether he was doing it because that's him, or if he was taking a little shot at himself. You know, that's great, man. Hey, I loved it when he tried to kiss Susie Colbert on TV, so
hey, not
he
for
could
nothing,
do no wrong.
Susie Colbert at the time looked like a butch. She's a piece of fucking ass now.
I saw her lately.
She grew the hair out. She looks pretty fucking good now.
Yeah, I saw her on, me and Jim, you know, we actually won an Emmy for when we were on Inside the NFL, and we saw her at the Sports Emmys Awards, and she was looking good, and that was when she turned the corner, and she was looking super hot.
Nice.
How does she look from behind?
All good, man. She had a tight black dress on. Everything fit. It was good.
Nice.
Yeah, man, we had fucking Florentine on this program back in December, and we had a fucking blast. So I was really looking when Meredith wanted to set up your appearance on it. I was like, fuck yeah, man, you know. So tell us a little bit about what's going on as far as that metal show and your stand-up gigs, bro.
Well, you know, that metal show is in its 13th season. It's just, it just keeps going and going. And, so, you know, we're happy, man. You know, we thought, you know, we figured this, you know, this dopey little metal show, you know, three idiots from New Jersey, you know, where is this going? I mean, you know, this isn't going to go anywhere. We figured we'd do one episode, you know, a pilot, we'd make $1,000, meet Lita Ford, and our TV career would be over. But luckily, metalheads are loyal, man, fiercely loyal, and, you know, the show's really popular around the world. So, yeah, so season 13, we're back in New York, so we're getting, you know, it's cool, man, we're getting the New York vibe back again after being in L.A. for like the last 4 years, and it's cool, man. It's a cool looking out in the audience, and just it looks like, you know, L'Amour's 1986.
Nice.
I love it.
I tell you, speaking of L'Amour's, though, I'm a huge Twisted Sister fan from back then. I first time I saw them, I think, was 82 with L'Amour, and I fucking loved the Radio Shack commercial yesterday with D on it.
You know what, man? I didn't watch one commercial. I refused to.
You didn't miss anything. They fucking blew. That was probably one of the better ones.
They all sucked, dude.
They were horrible, right, Craig?
Dude, I had the honor of getting my ass kicked by him. You know that, right? I told you that, right? You know that, Joe.
You got to tell Don the fucking story, bro. The Mark Mendoza and Dee Snider story.
Would they jump you?
No, what happened was in 1979, I took a girl, it was a stripper, believe it or not, but she was my girlfriend at the time. I took her to my senior prom, and then after that, we went to a place called the Gemini 2 in Yorktown. And they were performing there, and Dee Snider kept sticking a lollipop in her mouth. She was up at the front, and then she went in the back room with them. And before you know it, she was fucking around with Mark Mendoza, so who was the bass player. So I went over after a set. She's sitting on his lap. She's my golfer now. She's sitting on his lap, and I walked over when they were, you know, when they were like drinking at a table on a break. And I walked over and I said, "Hey, get up." And she's like, "No, I'm sitting here." And I said, "Get up, let's go." And he goes to me, "Why don't you get lost, you know?" So I said to him, "Why don't you stand up?" So when he goes to stand up, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Mendoza is really tall. So I dove on top of him, and I, you know, like I didn't give him a chance to stand up. You know, I tackled him. And I started hitting him, and before you know it, Dee Snider jumped on top of me and, like, totally kicked my ass. Now, I was only, you know, I was maybe 18 years old. You know, these guys were much bigger. You know, I was already built and shit and bodybuilding, but Jesus Christ, you know, I was only 5'6", you know, on a good day, and these guys are, you know, they were already adult men and shit, and he was just, like, wailing on me and shit, and, you know.
Really?
But I had Mendoza down. I had pretty good against Mendoza, but Dee Snider fucking was an animal, you know.
So are you a fan of theirs now, or did that ruin
it? No, I don't have anything against them. I mean, it's just, you know, back then, I don't know if you remember, back then they used to sing a lot of, like, Aerosmith stuff, like Train Kept Rolling and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really didn't do any of that, their own stuff, until a little bit later, you know what I'm saying? I remember when he first became famous, I was like, holy shit, you know, because he was jumping around in, like, women's clothes and stuff, you know? And even him, he's a pretty big guy, Dee Snider.
Yeah. Well, I get it, man. You know, first of all, you know, you don't want some rock dude in lingerie taking your chick, but, you know, especially if he's in a cover band at the time, you know, like, if it was after We're Not Gonna Take It and I Wanna Rock, then you go, all right, I'll let
you
him take my girl.
One, yeah.
Yeah, but not a cover band. They just played Aerosmith for a half hour. You're not going home with them.
Yeah, you know, they kept playing, Train Kept Rolling, Sweet Emotion, you know, they used to do a lot of that kind of stuff. But I mean, he totally, you know, he caught me from behind, Dee Snider, but I'm saying, like, because I was on top of Mendoza. And he just was well on my face. I could, you know, like, you know, from behind, he was, like, cracking me in it, you know. And then all the bouncers came in, and I got thrown out, and, you know, that was that, you know.
And what happened with the chick?
Well, believe it or not, she came outside. I made her come home with me. And then a couple of days later, I'm a glutton for punishment. A couple of days later, they were playing down at, Portchester. I forgot the name of the club. And, I mean, it was in the Corvette shopping center. I can't remember. You talking 1979, what it was called. But I brought her in there, and she got real drunk. And she was throwing up everywhere. I had to take her. She wound up actually, she got so drunk, she had, like, alcohol poisoning. We actually had to bring her to the hospital, and they put her in, like, a nut ward for, like, a couple days. You know what I'm saying? So I guess I got revenge, you know?
You know how to pick them, bro.
She was challenged spaghetti all over my friend's car. It was pretty gross. But
the best part of that story, though, that I got past Don, maybe, was that it was a stripper at his fucking high school prom. That's the part of the story. I mean, I've heard the story before because this is my fucking boy, but I fucking love that part of it. Picture that. You must have been a fucking hero, bro.
Well, what people don't realize is that I was working in a strip club. You know what I mean? When I was going to high school, I was at night. I was the doorman. I used to collect. You remember, the drinking age was only 18 back in the 70s. You know, I'm 53 years old. So, you know, back then, you know, and it was, believe it or not, it was $2 cover to get in. That was it. And I used to work the door, so I used to go out with all them pigs. And, you know, I remember I caught gonorrhea, and my mother was like, what's wrong? Because I had, like, blood in my underwears and shit, like a woman. Like, you know. But anyway, we don't want to talk about me. We should talk.
But this is making me laugh.
Well, I know, man, this guy, dude, you are a glutton for punishment.
Cock exploded.
Yeah, exactly. You know, your balls exploded, you got blood in your underwear, your girl's throwing up all over the place, you got to take her to the hospital, she's making out with Dee Snider. I mean, come on.
Dee Snider's singing Ladies Boy, letting her share his fucking big pinwheel lollipop.
Yeah.
I should have known she was not the girl for me, because the first night, you know, after the strip club, I took her out, and she had to take a piss, and she pissed in the parking lot with a cigarette in her mouth, blew a fart while she's squatting down, up like this, and I'm like, I think I'm in love. I don't know. She didn't park a lot, and blew a fart while she was down. What, you know, those were not, that was a crazy time, but anyway.
So, Don, what's going on?
I can't top that story. I think that's the end of the interview.
I don't even try anymore. I know this guy for years. I just go with it.
My only Twisted Sister story is, you know, I met D and he was, like, really nice. That's awesome.
I've met D a few times, too. He was always cool with me, but I didn't have a stripper with me.
Well, you know, and you ever know some guys don't like D. Snider? They always call him D. Schneider. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
That's like a subtle little shot at him, like, you Jew. If you like him, you call him D. Snider, but guys who don't like always go, D. Schneider.
I always called him D. Schneider. I thought that was his name. I didn't realize it's Snider.
Yeah, it's Snider.
Snider, not Schneider?
Snider, yeah.
Snider, yeah, like Tom Snider. Yeah, the news guy.
I didn't know that.
But, crazy, man.
So, Don, I got to ask you a question. It's fucking funny that both you and Florentine are great stand-up comics, but you're also such great metalheads that you do the metal show, and it's like, it's such a difference, and how do the two mix? I mean, I think it's great. So, I mean, I'm all for it, but it's kind of a cool mix. Like, how did you guys both land that gig with the metal show?
We always wanted to just combine all the, you know, the useless things that we loved into some kind of career. You know, it's like, well, working sucks. What kind of stuff do we like, and how can we like make it, you know, into a living, you know? So we just started pulling pranks and videotaping them and recording prank calls and, you know, got on the road and started doing stand up. And then we're like, well, now we got to work metal into the mix somehow. So, you know, we just started, you know, we met Trunk backstage at Ozfest and we were talking with him. We started going on his radio show and next thing you know, Ed's like, hey, you know, we should, you know, the three of us have a good, like, chemistry. We should try to see if anybody be crazy enough to pay us to do this on TV. And he was working at VH1 Classic at the time doing some hosting stuff. And, you know, like I said, man, we just went in and, you know, we had some stuff written down on paper, but mainly the meeting just busted Eddie's balls for, like, 45 minutes. And they laughed the whole time, and then they said, yeah, we want to do the show, man, because they didn't know anything about metal, so it wasn't going to be like we could go in and impress them, you know, by talking about Saxon for an hour. You know, they wouldn't have cared. But they just loved that we were ball breakers, and we were just, you know, having fun with each other. So that's how it started, man. But like I said, man, I thought I did 15 pilots before I did the pilot for that metal show. I did every kind of show, game shows, home shows, decorating shows, this show, that show, every kind of show. You know, and after 15 things that didn't get picked up, I'm like, you know, I'm basically being paid to stay out of show business at this point. Like, they're paying me not to be on TV at this point. Somebody has something against me. But nothing was really the right fit until, you know, the three of us got together. And you know, here we are, man.
Yeah, man, like you said, you mentioned the NFL show. You've also done Beer Money on SNY, which I always fucking love that. I think that's a pisser. and you know, really put you to the test if you're a sports trivia guy. And so you've also been able to mix that sports thing into, and also like Florentine, he's big into sports as well. So that's pretty cool that you get to, I mean, you have a lot of things that you're into, metal, sports, and obviously being a comic too. You're able to mix all of these passions and make a great career out of all of them. So you're kind of a lucky guy, bro.
Yeah, I know, man. And, you know, if I'd been 20 years younger, I'd try to figure out, you know, how to work strippers in, too. But I don't know if we can pull that one off.
You're better off not.
Yeah, probably not, yeah. But, yeah, the sports thing is great because, you know, I grew up East Coast, you know, and I've always, you know, I figured, you know what, I've paid my dues as a New York, New Jersey sports fan for, you know, all my teams, you know, suffering over the years, that someone could finally pay me back for that misery. And, you know, beer money was great because, you know, I'm a Met fan, so, you know, I'd watch the show before, obviously, I was on it, and they had the other hosts and stuff, and I used to dig the show, so I was thinking about, man, that would be a cool, like, little side job for me. And then out of the blue, man, like, a few months later, I got an email from the producer, and he's like, hey, man, you know, we've got some fans over here at the network. They're wondering if you want to come in and maybe, you know, talk about hosting Beer Money. We're, you know, changing it up. So I said, yeah, let me come in there, man. And so I went in, and same thing, man. I just I didn't think anything of it, and they just offered me the job right there in the meeting, and, you know, next thing you know, I was off and running.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. So, Don, why don't you just we gotta go to a break because we got our second guest on hold. So I want to give you a chance to plug some stuff. I mean, I know you got the Live and Hilarious CD. We got all the links for your website and all your social media sites up on there. So why don't you just let us know anything you want to plug out there? Feel free, bro.
Yeah, I got a new stand-up CD actually coming out March 18th. It's called Hellbent for Laughter, which is a play on a Judas Priest album called Hellbent for Leather. My last album was Live and Hilarious, which was a play on Live and Dangerous from Thin Lizzy. And since they didn't sue me for my last album, I figured I'll take a chance and with Judas Priest and see what happens. But that's going to come out March 18th, so that'll be on iTunes and, you know, everywhere else, man. And just watch that metal show, man. The new episodes are up now Saturday at 11 o'clock. There's a fresh episode. We got Uncle Ted Nugent coming up next Saturday, man, which I'm really excited about, you know, because love him or hate him, you know, Ted's the man. You know, you just get him talking, all we got to do is say Obama, and we got a whole show.
I love Nugent. I grew up with listening to that.
Yeah, Nugent's cool, man. I even liked him at Damn Yankees, so I like Nugent.
Yeah, I did too, man. So, yeah, so we're going to have a good time with Uncle Ted, and, we appreciate everybody's support, and thanks to you guys, man, and all the people that have been watching and stuff, and supporting me and Florentino's comics, man. It means a lot to us, you know. Yeah, we're like, you know, two idiots from Jersey with a bunch of dick jokes, and look where we've come. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely check out Don's site. I got the links up on our story there on the article. It's Don Jameson. The spelling is Jameison, so make sure you check him out. It's donjameson.com, and he's also got all his stuff up there. Real Don Jameson is his Twitter, and Don Jameson also on Facebook. Hopefully I didn't screw that up. I think I had that one correct, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Perfect.
All right. Don, thanks so much for joining us on the Stream Radio tonight, bro. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Don.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
all right,
lot,
we'll be
Don.
Back with Darcy LaPierre from Rodeo Girls. Hang in there, guys.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jim Kelly, former Buffalo Bills quarterback and Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Joe Pitaro and Greg Valentino.
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and radio show. more than just fitness. We'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit fitnessrxformen.com today.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, it's Artie Lang, and you're listening to Greg and Joe. Check it out.
You are listening to Fitness RX Radio with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Piatero. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiatero@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Fitness RX Radio.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Don Jameson once again for joining us on our Extreme Radio right here, Greg. But right now, we're going to hit the rodeo. We're going to invite the star and executive producer of Rodeo Girls from the A&E channel, Miss Darcy LaPierre. Darcy, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm calling in from Oregon tonight, so I wanted to come and say hi and have some fun with you guys tonight.
Let's have some fun. And during the whole, she said, go Seahawks. So obviously, in the Pacific Northwest over there, she's celebrating a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks with that rubbing of the Denver Broncos last night at MetLife. But let's talk about your stuff. What's going on with Rodeo Girls? Let us know. When is the is it in a new season right now? And what's the latest with the with you guys out there on the rodeo?
Well, we just finished up with our first season, and from the sounds of it, we had amazing ratings. We just kicked butt, and right now we're in talks, and it's kind of sounding like we're heading towards number two. As far as the rodeo season, we finished up our season in December, and now we're into a new year, 2014, so now we're getting ready to make a run for it and kick some butt. So I actually just came back from Washington running my horses today and making some runs to blow the dust off, because you know the holidays and that, you tend to get a little rusty. And so I'm getting ready to kick some butt this year.
I tell you, not for nothing, you don't have to sell me on Rodeo Girls. A bunch of gorgeous women bouncing around on horseback. I mean, come on now. It's a no-brainer for guys like for Greg and I to look at you and your cohorts there jumping around on the horses. But, and not to take nothing away, but your beauty is definitely something that exults right through the television set, Darcy.
Joe, you wish you were a horse, I think.
I am freaking straight.
Joe wishes he was a horse.
Oh, you or the saddle, right? I've heard that one too.
Yes, the saddle horn, most likely, you know, to me specifically.
Oh. we had a lot of fun. You know, we do it once you turn become a professional cowgirl, it's definitely a different road. It's very difficult in what we do. I mean, we're professional athletes, but we like to have fun with it. There was an episode, I believe it was episode 3, where we did a bikini barrel race, and we got a lot of flack for it. And I took one on the chin for a bikini barrel race. It's not part of the pro circuit, but it was to raise money for breast cancer. So they showed a lot of the barrel race of us in bikinis racing our horses in slow motion. So if you have an app or a way to get on the computer, you're able to go to A&E Rodeo Girls and go and look at the last season so you can catch up to know where you're at. But Bikinis or Bust, I believe, was the name of the episode that showed us hot women on some fast horses in slow-mo.
I got the link right on the preview article for the channel. I'm pretty sure I have the link for the A&E, you know, the page for you guys, and plus all of your personal pages, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and your website, Darcy LaPierre, LaPierre.com. DARCY is the spelling of the first name. Now, who in their right mind would give you guys flack for doing that?
Well, you know, there's some traditional, you know, old, there's... You always have a society within a society of barrel racing, and I understand that, you know, the professional cowgirls, we have a strict dress code, and that is hat, button-up shirts, long sleeve, jeans, no holes, boots. I mean, we're women, we're in a man's world, so we have to dress like so and appear professional and be professional, and we are. But we also like to have a lot of fun.
You're talking to two guys from New York City. You know what I'm saying? Those from Brooklyn. I'm from the Bronx. You know, like cowgirls to us are like a rare treat. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're used to like ghetto girls, or, you know, we're two Italians from like New York City. You know, we're cowgirls to us is like it's own entity, right, Joe?
Oh, that would be like such a cool thing. I wouldn't even know where to start. It would be a freaking trip, bro.
I love it. Come visit. Be my guest. Cowgirl starts with a C like cookies.
Oh, I was going to say something else, but I'm trying to be a gentleman. With Donnie, we could have said that. But you know what? But not for nothing, you did it for a perfect and it makes total sense. I get the whole thing, you know, where people say, oh, how could you? But give me a freaking break. Get off your bullshit. I mean, you guys were doing it for a charity, and it made total sense. Yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek in a way, but you guys must have done well and raised a lot of money, so who's going to complain at the end of the day for that?
Well, that's true, but I see both sides of it. I see, you know, both sides of it, and so, you know, when you're in the middle of a war, you tend to, you know, keep your mouth shut and do your job, so that's what I always tend to take one for the team, so I took one on the chin for us, and so I keep on keeping on.
So you're saying because it's not traditional cowgirl style, there's people who are you know, like, oh my God, you're supposed to be a cowgirl. Cowgirls don't do that. Is that what you're basically, you're kind of getting that kind of grief?
Yes, exactly. You're a cowgirl, so act like one. You're a professional cowgirl, so act like one.
Oh, okay.
Oof. Oh, God, people are freaking lame, man.
People are tough. I mean, geez.
Tough. I mean, it's not an easy world that, you know, that I live in, but I'm from entertainment, so I get what you guys are saying, too. I mean, gosh, I grew up, I was a big bathing suit model. I was Miss Miller Lite, Miss Budweiser, Miss Hawaiian Tropic, Miss This, Miss Hot Legs, Miss Calendar. I mean, I did it all when it was popular and from there, you know, obviously I went into, you know, more modeling and acting and that, and married the boss but I'm always have been for the underdog. I'm a pageant girl. So, when both worlds collided, they're like, hey, we're going to put you in bikinis on a horse. I was like, hey, I've had three kids and I work out hard. Dang right. This is a no-brainer. I'm going to go for it.
You know what I always thought? When people, now Greg and I are in the bodybuilding and fitness industry, so we hear it all the time from the other side. And what I mean by the other side is the lazy, the fat, and the disgusting who break chops about people who want to show their hard work off. So damn right you should go on a horse with a bikini on. Who the hell, they got some set to even contemplate that. Let me see them try to pull it off. Anybody that's old-fashioned is just fat and lazy, in my opinion.
Were you once married? You were once with Jean-Claude Van Damme, am I correct? Weren't you married to him or something? Or did you get a date or something like that? Or?
No, we were married for about, 4 or 5 years. We have a son together, Nicholas.
Oh, you do? I was once with his ex-girlfriend, Gladys, in 1981. We didn't date. I just kind of kissed her in a nightclub, Xenon Discotheque. She was dating my friend, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brian Moss. I don't know if you know Brian, but he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But
small world.
I never met him. I never met John Claude. I was always a big fan of his, you know, when I was, you know, years ago,
right.
You know, with martial arts and stuff.
Sure.
But, Gladys and I, you know, were friends.
Yeah. No, we're great friends, and, you know, he's really proud of me with the show, and he still can't get over the fact that once I moved from Los Angeles that I really worked really hard and that I do what I do, and I do it so passionately, and I'm good at it. And, I mean, if you told me 10 years ago that I would move from Los Angeles, move back home to Oregon, become a professional cowgirl, be really good at it, oh yeah, and then come up with an idea and then sell it and produce it with Harvey Weinstein. Are you kidding me? Oh, and that's right, with A&E. I would say, what have you been, you know, you're, what is wrong with you? How can you do that? I mean, my life has just been an incredible, incredible journey. And I think when I talk about it like that, I feel like I'm talking about someone else, and that someone else wears me out. She makes me really tired sometimes.
Well, how many kids do you have? You said you're a mom, right?
I have 3 kids. I have Sterling, Nicholas, and Madison.
How old are they? Little or?
Madison's 10, Nick's 18, and Sterling's 23.
Wow! You got a 23-year-old kid?
Yeah, I had her when I was like 5.
Wow! You look so young. I can't believe. You know, that's great.
Freaking,
I have good genes. I'm American Indian.
Are you really?
Yeah, my dad's Chippewa Cree.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy Indian.
You know, let me, but I'm saying, how do your kids feel? I mean, here's mom, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you know, like, mom's
I don't surprise
girl,
anyone
you know?
Anymore.
A bikini
I just
girl.
Don't surprise anyone anymore. They just roll their eyes, including my kids are like, of course she's going to have a TV show. Of course
wow. She's
going to another rodeo. I mean, I don't know. God just puts me in these precarious, you know, kind of say, oh, let's give this to Darcy, you know, let's see what she can handle. And I just, you know, what is it? If you throw me to a pack of wolves, I'll come back leading them.
Absolutely. You'll come back, they'll be your house pets, right?
Yes, you're right.
So you pack the wolves, they'll be your house pets. Oh, my God. That's pretty awesome, though. I mean, yeah, I can get your 18. Do you go to school, like, you go to meet your 18-year-old or your young one at school, and like, wait, that's your mom? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, my son now, he's, you know, he's got all testosterone up, so he's all, you know, 18, and he's really protective of me. You know, I'm single and that, so he's very protective, so I think it's really cute.
Oh, that's cute. That is cute. That's great. And I mean, that's awesome. You seem like you got everything going on there, you know what I mean? Like you said, I mean, who would have thought, you know, well, you know, years ago, you'd be, you know, you figure once you leave L.A. or you leave New York, you know, one of the two, you know, where, you know, you're going to go to Oregon, you're going to get a show, you know what I'm saying? And here you did it, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds easy, but it was, you know, it was a lot of work, a lot of hard work. But I have really good work ethic. I work my tail off. When I decide to do something, I jump in both feet and I work hard. And I don't give up. I'm like a pit bull. I won't let go until it's done. And I think, you know, my mantra is that you can do anything you want to do. If you want to become a professional bodybuilder, you can do it. But it's what's missing is a work ethic. People, opportunity looks like hard work. And that's, people are like, I don't want to do that. It's like, I don't want to work out. Well, you know, there's no magic anything.
No, absolutely.
You have a dream. It's so simple. It is so simple. And so if you have an idea, get this, you have an idea, write it down. What's that do? It makes it a goal. Now you have a goal. Now work really hard towards that goal. That's it. Boom.
Right. No, you're a smart girl. I'm telling you. You're right. You hit the nail on the head, you know, seriously. Even myself, I'm a bodybuilder. I sat in a jail cell 12 years ago because I got in trouble for steroids and everything. Now, you know, here I am. I'm in the media. I've done a bunch of TV shows, even a few movies and all that stuff. Who would have thought, you know, when I was sitting
right.
there with a bunch of losers, you know. you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah, dang right I do. You know, and that's, I'm proud of you. I mean, it's a long ways to the top, you know, if you want to rock and roll, right? I mean, you decided and that was it. It's like this guy out here, Dave's Killer Bread. He was in jail and he decided he was going to make bread and he's just making some great bread out here. You know, I try to stay away from the bread. It's not good for my girlish figure. But.
Well, I know the feeling. Yeah, we don't eat too much bread either, me and Joe. We're, you know, we're bleached Italians. You know, we stay away from all that starch. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, because we're bodybuilders and everything. But, you know, the thing is just that, you know, that's awesome that you can, you know, that you can set aside everything like that, you know. I mean, you were once married to a famous, you know, movie star, people figure like, oh, you know, and you didn't even need him to get to where you did it on your own. And that's the beauty of that, too, that you did it all, you know, your goals, your own dreams and stuff. You made it happen.
Yeah, and anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. I swear you can. I'm walking, talking proof.
Right. No, I agree with that.
And before, Darcy, you blew past something so quick, I want to just bring it back a little bit. You had some great, like you said, the Hawaiian Tropic Girl, and you had all these things. That is an amazing accomplishment. I mean, look how many people are vying for that title. And you said it like it was like something like, okay, yeah, I did this. But, hey, man, that was something. That's a great thing to hang your hat on. So why don't you give us a little background on how that worked?
Thank you. Well, I grew up in Oregon in a small town, typical small town girl, and wanted to get the hell out of that town. And I think God felt sorry for me because I was a really homely kid. So I think he sprinkled some dust on me and said, all right, you know, put a front end on her and a couple of hair extensions and, you know, we'll pick her up on Tuesday. and then I just worked really hard, worked out, and I started entering these contests on the weekend. And I, you know, Miss Hot Legs, Miss Eugenia, Miss Swimmer Illustrated, and I started watching what the girls that were winning, what they were doing. I was like, well, gosh, they're putting fake hair in, and they're putting fake nails on, and some eyelashes. Well, I got to get some of that. Well, I'm going to do that. Oh, and they're wearing higher heels, and, oh, you know, and back then they had, they didn't have all of the beautiful spray tanning that they have now, and that, so, you know, I just, again, worked really hard at, you know, working out and getting enough sleep and drinking a lot of water and vitamin, you know, the everything you need to do to have your body look good. Because at the time I was working as a medical assistant and an x-ray technician, my mom said, hey, make sure that, you know, you're always a nurse so that people will always be sick. In a depression or a recession, people always be sick so that you can always have a job. Well, I started making more money on the weekends doing bathing suit contests and beauty pageants than I was taking x-rays and drawing blood. So, you know, I was naturally kind of going over to the world of, you know, the Miss Hawaiian Tropics and Miss Eugenia and Miss Swimmer Illustrated, et cetera, et cetera. And I, that's the path that I started going down. And you know, I, again, you know, it's just something that at that time was, gosh, if you got into a music video, you were an instant star and those, it was just a different time then. It was just a, you know, you naturally, you know, you're good looking, you went into beauty pageants, then after that you went into Playboy, and then after that you married a rock star and body, body, body.
Hey, you know what though? That's you know, that's, and you have, I don't see any difference between the way you look then and the way you look now, because you're stunningly gorgeous still. And I think that the that, you know, if they don't want to show those videos on A&E's channel with the bikini riding rodeo girls, me and Greg will show it on our site without a problem. You can send them to me. I will put them up immediately.
You know, there's nothing out there like us on television. I mean, we're kick-ass, strong women with big hearts, and you know, we're rodeo girls. We come from every walk of life. I mean, there's from a horse trainer. There's, of course, someone like myself, and gosh, I mean, there's just all types of women out there, but we all meet at the arena with one goal: to be the fastest girl out there. And no one can buy it for you. No one can do it for you. It's just your butt in the saddle, going as fast as you possibly can go around three barrels, cross the electric eye. That's it. Fastest time wins. That's, you know, and it's scary. I mean, if you're not scared going to your first barrel, you're not going fast enough.
There you go. Well, you know what? Everybody check out Rodeo Girl. It's going to be starting at season two. We know that you're going to get picked up for another one. Check out Darcy LaPierre, LAPIER.com, and check out all the links I have for Darcy's social media pages on the article right there on our FitnessRxForMen.com website. Darcy, I want to thank you so much for joining Greg and myself on Extreme Radio tonight.
Thank you guys for having me. And I got to, when I come to New York, hopefully I can meet you guys, and I want to get you guys out to a rodeo somewhere. You'll have a really good time, I promise.
I love it.
We want to be like those clowns, though, that run around and get chased around,
You can do that. I can set it up.
We'll be the two guinea clowns running around. We'll put some Italian
people.
We'll put some.
Put
Chef Boyardee costumes on us and fake mustaches
we'll
and run
it.
Around.
I'll make it happen.
No, see, I don't understand how you're single. What's the matter with the guys out there?
What are they, a bunch of regulars out there?
No, but I'm saying she's a good-looking girl. She's got her head on straight. Maybe that scares some of these guys. I don't know.
Oh, bro. Well, you
There's
know what?
What's with these Oregon guys? What's the matter with you guys?
Oh, the girls will love you guys. The Italian guys, are you kidding me? We don't get to see guys like you very often.
Greg, we're going to have to make our way out to the Oregon.
You know, let's get the next plane.
We're going to have to tell Blackman we got to do a photo shoot in Oregon so we can get out there.
All right. You got it. Tell me what time you land. We'll come get you.
Gotcha, Darcy. We'll keep in touch,
Thank
hon.
You,
Take
Darcy.
Care.
Okay, have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank
Greg
you.
And I will be back to wrap this up in a couple. Hang right there, boys.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and radio show. More than just fitness, we'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit FitnessRxForMen.com today.
Hi, I'm Shannon Sharp, FitnessRx for Men. Bam!
Listen for MD Radio on the Voice America Variety Channel.
That's Muscular Development Radio.
Every Monday, your host, Sean Ray, will take you inside the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. The show will feature Hall of Fame bodybuilders, trainers, judges, and the future champions of tomorrow. Plus, you'll be invited to participate in our call-in Ask the Pros feature. And our nutritional spotlight will feature products that can help you achieve your fitness goals. MD Radio is broadcast live Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, what's up? Mario Lopez here, and we're at Gio's Brooklyn Boxing Club doing a photo shoot for Fitness RX for Men.
You are listening to Fitness RX Radio with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Piatero. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiatero@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Fitness RX Radio.
And make sure you check out DarcyLaPierre.com. And Greg, not for nothing though, but if I check out that Darcy LaPierre Rodeo Girl slow motion bikini, that's just as good as fucking Pornhub, I guess.
I tell you what.
I can bust one on that. Without a doubt, I can fucking drop a load to that, bro.
She's a really, really, really pretty girl. I mean, you know, I mean, I've always liked cowgirls, bro. I mean, I've been down south, you know, you'd be on different trips for here and there, and I like that. I like all that, you know. Like those good old, you know, country girls. You know, those are the kind of girls that you got to, you know, go home and make babies with and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're not the kind, though, that are, you know, We used to filthy hoes. You know what I'm saying?
Fucking project girls, bro.
Yeah, we used to pay and stuff, you know.
Apartment 4Ds. I live in apartment 4Ds. You gonna come see me? You know, that's the way you used to fucking...
Oh, yeah, well, you throw with the...
Fucking project,
yeah,
bro. Okay, the fucking animals.
My mom's ain't home.
My mom's. Hurry up. My mom's get home from work in an hour. Can you be here quick?
Hi, you Darian. No, but, you know, let me tell you. I don't know, you know, she was a very, you know... She seemed like, what the hell's wrong with the guys out there, bro? I mean, not for nothing.
How could they not be fucking going after
that,
bro?
She's a smart girl. She's pretty and all that shit, huh? I don't know.
And she's
man.
Got money on top of that.
Yeah, well, that's good for us, you know, right? That's good for us guineas over here. You know, we got to watch what we say, though. You never know. TMZ, after last week, you know, they twisted everything that we said. By the way, if you people out there that are listening, you know, our whole our interview with Burt Young, Paul, you know, Paulie from Rocky, they're trying to say that everything, you know, he was bad mouthing Rocky, and it's not true. You know, Sylvester stole it. It was on TMZ, so we got picked up. It's the second time our show got picked up from TMZ.
Yeah, so fucking Burt Young did not diss Rocky. He was fucking loving Rocky, but they just used that couple of lines when he was saying he put a price tag on you. He was joking around, bro. He was fucking
goofy. He was definitely joking around. I mean, I'm glad that TMZ finds our show interesting enough. Of course, they didn't give us enough props. I mean, they had this tiny little caption when they're showing it from Fitness Arts. And by the way, I thought we're changing that shit.
Yes, we're going to be changing that.
You know,
it's Extreme Radio.
Workout tips and
I know,
you
want to
learn about fitness.
We got to cut the new promos. We talk about fucking fitness. I'm fucking full of shit all the time. That's fitness, right? So, but
well,
hey, listen. I want to make one fucking comment, and I gotta get two guys' opinions, Greg and our engineer Michael. I gotta ask you a fucking question, because man, the fucking man, the man. You know they're martyring this fucking guy, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and they're making it seem like he's a tragic figure. And oh my God. Let me fucking tell you something. He's no different than the fucking homeless junkie laying on the fucking ground in the Lower East Side somewhere on Avenue B to me. This fucking guy left three fucking kids in the world without a father because he couldn't get his shit together. Now, come on. I don't fucking feel bad for this cocksucker.
In one fucking... Mike, you want to say something before I tell my shit, man?
I mean, I don't know. I agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, just another junkie dead, but... they're making a huge deal of it because he was a decent actor.
Here's the part I don't understand, guys. The part everybody's forgetting is that all his friends and all his the people that came over there, the girl and the guy that found him and all that shit, they knew he was doing his shit. Nobody fucking once said, "Hey, asshole, you know what I mean? What are you doing, dude? Are you fucking kidding me? You're fucking idiot. You're cooking up shit and shooting it into your veins." I mean, the cops there found the spoon.
He had a needle in his arm, bro, with the fucking cord laying there with works in him.
Dude, listen, you know as well as I do. You were a cop. You know, I was a cop for a short period of time. But maybe I'm not supposed to say that. Anyway, we know the street guys, okay? Listen to me, all right? A junkie can't control himself. You know that. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? You can put a pile of money here or a little bag of heroin right there. And if you gave a junkie a choice, he'll take the heroin. He can't control himself. When I was locked up, bro, you had to see the guys in jail kicking that shit. Oh, it was horrible. They're throwing up and they're laying in their own shit and everything. But here's the thing. Where were his friends that sat there, that watched him shoot, that knew what he was doing? That's the point. Same thing when that other guy died there, the Joker or whatever.
Heath Ledger, yeah.
Yeah, Heath Ledger. Same shit. They all knew what he was doing. They, you know, it wasn't like these guys like, oh, shit, he died. Oh, fuck, he was doing heroin. Nobody knew. Everybody
knows. Yeah, there's no fucking shock in either one of these guys. And that's what fucking gets me, you know, I get kind of jerked off with that. It's because it's like, asshole, you got the world by the fucking balls. You're a fucking actor. I mean, this Hoffman guy, he, like Mike said, he's a good actor. He's had some great roles. In Moneyball, he played Art Howe, and I thought he pulled it off fucking great. And Heath Ledger, obviously, with The Patriot, and we won't even talk about Brokeback Mountain. I don't want to get involved with fucking dick-sucking and ass-fucking. But, you know, he was good in The Joker and all of that. But these guys, they're rich. They got families and shit, and this guy was married and had kids. Heath Ledger was probably single. He was a young guy. But... what the fuck were you thinking?
Yeah, Heath Ledger had a hot girlfriend. She's a famous actress. I forgot her name.
I mean, just fucking grow up. How could you? I mean, listen, I don't give a fuck how much you want to party. That's not fucking partying. That's just being an animal, laying there, fucking shooting up, passing out.
But Joe, these people are. It's like these guys that are 800 pounds. You got to cut them out of their house, and they haven't gotten out of bed in 5 years and shit. That's because somebody's enabling them. And these people, like they, when I was reading the story about Hoffman, they were saying like the girl that found him and everything, you know, and the guy immediately started crying and he went into this like convulsions and shit. And I'm like, dude, you knew he was doing that shit. What, you know, nobody fucking steps in and stuff. So if I was a bad heroin addict, I would hope you would step in and friggin'.
I would fucking kick your ass to get your
together. I would, that's what I would, and I would do the same.
Mike, would you kick my ass if I was a junkie?
Yeah, I'd come out to New York and kick your ass for you.
Thanks. That's what I want to hear. See, that's fucking good looking out, bro. That's what this fucking guy needed. He should have had somebody fucking slap him in the face and say, dude, what the fuck, man? But we're going to be closing out in about a minute, Greg. But next week, we got the wonderful Ramona Rizzo joining us, Greg.
Oh, my God, dude. I'm going to blow a load of for every Italian guy, you know, Ramona Rizzo. I mean, that's like, you know, my time clock's ticking here. You know what I mean? She's like the fucking chick from My Cousin Vinny. But,
yeah.
Like, I love her. I fucking love her. We all know, bro, growing up in the Bronx, you grew up in Brooklyn, we all know, you know, chicks like that. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, we got the Mob Wives, and then we got comedian and impersonator Max Cook, who's going to do every fucking character on The Sopranos, every character on Goodfellas, and in Casino. So we got a fucking mob-related show next week. It's going to be Gindaloon fucking heaven next week, Greg.
Hey, Mike, next week you're Italian too, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay? Next week you're an honorary Denny too.
We're going to put a vowel at the end of your name if you like it or not, man. Hey, guys, that's going to do it for us this week on Extreme Radio. For Greg Valentino, this is Joe Piattaro, and for our engineer, Mike.
Fuck off.
Fuck off, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. FitnessRxForMen.com. Check it out.
Thank you for listening this week. Greg and Joe will be back next Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel with another edition of Fitness RX Radio. Have a pumped week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Hi, I'm Joe Swedish.